This is Ray Dennis on DesMoinesBroadcasting.com, and we're going to be talking with an interesting gentleman here tonight that was program director of KIOA in its second heyday in the 1960s. Of course, KIOA was an immediate success back in 1957 when they went with the top 40 format. There was a disaster in between the two eras, and that took place on February 26, 1963. The studios were located in the old Tromar Ballroom at 5th and Park in Des Moines, across from Vets Auditorium, and that night it burned to the ground. This is where program director Peter McLean came in a few months after that. Peter, what did you think of the idea of coming to KIOA in its condition at that time?
You know, I don't even think I ever went down to Keo and 5th to look at it, because we were still broadcasting from the Hartford Hilton, which is where the transmitter was out in Hartford, Iowa. And I had to do 1 week there while they were rebuilding the studios, and they rebuilt them at 8th and Keo. So we just kind of like moved up the street about three blocks. And I don't even remember just going down there to take a look out of curiosity, but I do remember being 1 week out at the Hartford Hilton in beautiful downtown Hartford.
And the Hartford Hilton actually is what they call a Quonset hut,
yeah,
which is a metal building,
right? Built in the World War II,
like an airplane hangar, actually.
Yeah, there's still some around.
Well, Peter, you came on the scene about that time, and how did you happen to come to KIOA?
I was a program director at KWMT up in Fort Dodge, which was a top 40 radio station on 540, covered about 8 states, but it was also a daytimer, so we had our evenings free for debauchery. But about that time, they wanted to move into more farm programming, and because they were a sister station of WMT, and I just didn't really want to do that. So I remember, this is an interesting story, I don't think I've ever told this before. I came down to Des Moines with my tapes in hand and an appointment to see, first of all, KSO. And I was pitching myself as a production director, and whatever air shift was available. Usually it was always nights, 7 to midnight or something. And I went to the radio station, which was on Ingersoll, in the Fishbowl, and I said, I'm here to see Mr. Vance. And they said, Mr. Vance is across the street in Bucknum's restaurant having his dinner. You can go on over there. So I remember I went over to see Mr. Vance, and Mr. Vance was sitting in the booth flexing his muscles. I'll never forget this, because he was, as you know, he was a guy who was physical, into physical stuff, Sorensen's gym and stuff early on. And he was sitting with the sweater girl. So I sat down, and I remember Vance saying, well, kid, what do you got? And I gave him my tape and applied for a job. And he says, nah, I think you're making too much money, and I don't really need anybody now. So I said, I'll work hard, you know. And he said, no, thanks. So the next appointment I had was to meet the general manager and the program director at KIOA. And they were looking for somebody. And, you know, I'm trying to think of who I replaced in afternoons, and I can't remember whether I was replacing somebody or they were lengthening or shortening a shift.
Well, the program director was Art Sullivan.
Right, right. But for some reason, I got afternoon drive against Dick Vance. And I remember I also was a production director, and that was May of 63. And in the fall of 63, Art Sullivan got a big-time job offer from Denver. And he took that job and went to Denver, and I became program director of KIOA in the fall of 63. So that's it, yeah.
Did you start at KWMT, or did you have some experience prior to that?
No, I went to school at the University of Nebraska and had some part-time jobs in Lincoln and ran the campus radio station, which was KNUS, backwards is sunk, so you never held the call letters up to it. And we had the first tight playlist in the world, because we didn't have a lot of records. It was about 30 records on a playlist. And I worked with a guy by the name of Chuck Patrick, who later went on to radio in Nebraska, and a guy by the name of Steve Brown, who became the vice president of programming for Star Stations. And then in the summer, I got a job at Coil. And then I went back to school, and then I left school, worked for Coil for a while, and then put KOOO on the air, which was the first full-time country radio station in Omaha. From there, I went to KWMT in Fort Dodge.
Okay, so you got hired at KIOA.
I did. I got the job.
You became the program director. And let's see, you had studios that had been burnt to the ground, and you were operating from the Hartford Hilton, the transmitter.
Beautiful Hartford Hilton.
New studios on the way at 8th and Keele.
Right.
And how did you put this all together, and where did you want to take the station?
Well, basically, it wasn't my responsibility. It was Art Sullivan's till we moved. And I remember that they constructed it, and our production studios were downstairs. The building at 8th and Keele is long gone now. But at that time, Keele was the big arterial. It was bigger than Ingersoll, where the traffic would flow out on Keele. And so because of KSO, KIWA decided to go under glass, too. So our main control rooms and our newsrooms were across from each other and on the street. I remember the kids would bring their lawn chairs down and sit out on the sidewalks while the guys were on the air. And we were in that building until about 1972. It was a creepy building. I mean, we only used half of it. The other half, I think, was haunted.
Well, it was, as I remember visiting down there, it was triangular shaped, wasn't it, because of the way the street ran?
Yeah, the way the street, Lou Rand had the bowling alley on the back, and then there was a triangle of land there. And so the building started on a point and then branched out and became wider at the back. But we were on the, I guess it would be the south end of that building. And we're there for quite a while. I remember that was not bulletproof glass, by the way. That was just a big open pane of glass. And we never had any problems. But in the afternoons, when the sun would go over to the west, the 45s would warp. You know, and the gray arms would barely track, you know, barely track, and you have to take a quarter out and put on them. Because, now, in the evening, we didn't have that problem, but when I was on the air, I had to work in sunglasses. Not because I was cool, but because you couldn't see. Because somebody, and we coated it, but it still didn't keep the sun out, especially in the summertime. I mean, it was hot in there, man.
Well, what were the ideas that you had where you were going to take KIOA? Obviously, there were some changes along there.
Well, a couple. You know, sometimes it's not what you do. It's what happens in the marketplace. I did not save the Hooper, but I actually beat Dick Vance one afternoon. When I came in, I asked the guys. We had a 50-record playlist, and then we went to the 9+40 survey. But I said I only want to play the top 20 songs all afternoon long from 3 to 6. And when I'm done, he said, what are you going to do? I said, play them over again. Because I believed in the tight list. I believed that the traffic was turning over very fastly in the afternoon as people got home. So I figure what you heard at 3 o'clock, you could play again at 5. So we ran a very tight list in the afternoon, and I did get past him in one Hooper. But in fairness to Dick, he was leaving the radio station at that time, and I think he was buying a part interest in KDMI or something.
That's correct.
Yeah. And KSO was sold in April of 64. I looked this up. And when they were sold, a group called Whitehall Broadcasting came in with Big Top Radio, which was the top 40 to the tune of a circus. And I remember they kept, they said, this is circus radio, but our disc jockeys aren't clowns. And we had them from then on in. I mean, KIOA was just really rolling. Plus, my concept of the radio station was it was not just a Des Moines station, it was a statewide station. I mean, when you had 10,000 watts on 940 and you could get out a couple hundred miles, we kind of thought of ourselves in a little bit different league, and we tried to build on a state image as opposed to a local image. And it apparently worked. It apparently worked. Plus, I got lucky. I got a good crew, too. When KSO abandoned some of the best guys in town, Hal Moore came over to work for us. Phil Thomas came over, joined our newsroom. And so I had some star-studded talent there.
Sandy Shore?
Sandy came later. But at that time, the first lineup I had was Doug McKinnon in the mornings, myself, Ron Pepper, Hal Moore, Stu Adams, and Phil Thomas. So I had some good guys. Plus, I had great news guys. I had four news guys named Bob. I had Bob Burlingame, Bob Betts, Bob Kane, and Bob Kometz, who's still at KDK in Pittsburgh. So, I mean, we had full-time news guys all the time. And Bob Burlingame was called the Dean of Iowa News Guys, one of those big, deep guys, you know. And so we had a lot of imagery going for us and a lot of tremendous talent.